And we are going to shift gears right now and talk about the state legislature with Representative Nathan Small, Chairman of the House Finance Committee. Chairman Small, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Walt. You bet. Great to be on and excited to visit.
So the governor has called for a special session to deal with the impacts of what was formerly known as the Big Beautiful Bill. They don't want to call it that anymore. So we'll refer to it, I guess, as H.R. 1. But we know that the impacts on the state are going to be devastating, especially in the areas of health care and food assistance. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing to prepare for that special session and what you hope will come out of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and thank you so much. And you're absolutely right. This is you sort of couldn't build a more focused target or sort of a focused vehicle to try and attack states like New Mexico and other rural states, particularly. I'm actually up in Santa Fe now, although I'll be headed back a little bit later today, up for meetings with the executive, with legislative colleagues and leaders. And I think one way to think about the special session is we're working and have been forced because of the Trump cuts and Republicans in Washington's cuts to defend New Mexico, essentially kind of a period between October 1 and then, you know, in sort of the end of February, say, in 2026, when the regular 30-day session would conclude.
Right.
And that's what we're going to do. We are not going to let these cuts immediately harm New Mexicans in the ways that they could. And as you said, those are especially focused around health care. Food is really almost even more of an immediate impact. And the changes to SNAP benefits, kicking some people off of SNAP benefits and food benefits, that not only help those people, but also flow through, for instance, rural grocery stores, and so are very much a part of the economic fabric of communities across New Mexico. Those are being attacked. And then healthcare, the exchange, healthcare subsidies, among a number of other things. So we're doing that, and those are we're looking at those, rather, I should say. And then we need to prepare because the biggest cuts and really sort of the wholesale gutting of programs, particularly like Medicaid, which will impact New Mexicans who receive their health care through Medicaid, also New Mexicans who don't, who are now going to be facing even bigger challenges. We have to prepare for that. And there's a lot of nuanced work there, too.
Go ahead, Daisy.
Yeah, good morning, Representative Small. This is Daisy. And I kind of, you know, I had a question about the financing part of this. And, you know, myself and Walt have had this discussion on many occasions about our rainy day fund, our reserves that the state holds for when we need it, you know. And I'll say certainly in my opinion is we need it. And so I'm wondering what fashion does the legislators intend to finance, you know, these cuts so that New Mexicans can maintain a good quality of life?
Thank you. You know, as chair for both the House Appropriations Committee and the Legislative Finance Committee, the outlook and really a two-year outlook is so essential. And that's actually one of the reasons that I brought the Legislative Finance Committee down to Las Cruces, where, among other things, we heard from community nonprofit leaders. So one of the tools and, frankly, strong positions New Mexico is in is that we have ongoing budget surpluses that we can utilize for strategic state needs without, in some cases, the constitutional amendments that would be required to go into permanent funds. Or in other cases, there are two-thirds vote majorities that would be required to access what you broadly refer to, and there's a lot more nuance and specificity, as the rainy day funds. So what we have the ability to work with, and what we will be working with both for the October special session that Governor Lujan Grisham has called and that she worked on collaboratively with our Democratic legislative leadership, and also in the next 30-day session, is the, you know, roughly about $2 billion in surplus, non-recurring, that we have. And then there's a much smaller portion of recurring funding, and essentially that means refunding that we can count on not just this one year, but in subsequent years that we can work with. I am confident that we have perhaps some of the strongest tools available to any state in the nation right now because of our strategic budgeting. That said, when you look at a program like SNAP and what the federal government and what Republicans in Washington have done, the immensity of the challenge becomes clear, because the administrative burden that was borne by the federal government is being shifted to states.
Right.
Entire classes of New Mexico residents who previously got these benefits, and who in fact we help support get these benefits, are now legally excluded from getting those benefits, in addition to sort of the other cuts. So that really means that, the $11 billion budget for the state of New Mexico that's grown well over 40% since I was first elected in 2016, is in a tough position to sort of bear every federal dollar cut for eternity. But we're very focused on getting the very best impact for New Mexicans. And in some cases, and this moves over into areas like workforce solutions, perhaps even some in the healthcare realm, we're going to be forced by the federal government, because of the cuts and the attacks, to streamline and perhaps even reimagine and innovate in how services are delivered to New Mexicans, so that maybe we can, in some cases, get more impact, more benefit for New Mexicans with fewer dollars overall, but with entirely state-funded.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's, I appreciate going into some of the nuance there.
Thank you.
And just to lay out the stakes for this, if the state does not act, according to a report by Voices for Children, 175,000 people would lose their health care coverage. According to State Hospital Association, 6 to 8 rural hospitals would close. And in terms of food assistance, once again, the Voices for Children, 35,000 families would lose an average of $70 a month, and that does not include what you were just talking about, mixed status families, mm-hmm. Who would lose their benefits entirely. And so the need for the state to act, and for the state to act quickly before, you know, we get to back the regular session in January, seems to be pretty apparent and pretty obvious. I'm just curious, is that the general sentiment that you're hearing from your fellow legislators?
Yeah, great question. I think broadly, yes. I think since really the beginning of this year, when it became clear that Republicans in Washington were determined to make these, frankly, attacks and cuts, the chaos that we saw start with all of the layoffs, the funding freezes, been followed by not only the budget bill that permanently cuts such huge amounts and threatens hundreds of thousands of New Mexicans, but also what's known as a rescissions package,
right.
Essentially the pulling back of funding that had been already legally provided by Congress, that causes uncertainty into the future. I think there's been a strong sense that we had to be ready to act. I will say that this entire year, it's been sort of walking a balance between trying to stay up, frankly, with the chaos coming out of Washington, D.C., considering and creating our options, and then working to find the right times and ways to act. That's why it really helped, I think, crystallize for us that a special session, at the beginning of October, right after the federal budget year has gone into effect, really makes a great deal of sense to get us through until we conclude the 30-day regular session. So I think broadly the sense is yes. I know that folks all across the state have been working very hard. Our legislative leadership, led by the speaker, have been working on this literally every single day. And so it's brought us to a point, again, where we have both the commitment, will, and the tools to act this year.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, and Walt actually brought this up earlier to me this morning, saying that another issue that you all intend to address, or that the governor has indicated, was around public radio, right? Funding
for public broadcasting.
Public broadcasting, right. Thank you. And so I was just wondering if you could speak more to that and any of your thoughts on adding that to the work that you were asked to conduct in a few weeks.
Yeah, that is what the legislative leadership and the governor and the executive leadership have worked through. As somebody who knows and depends upon public media, like so many do in our communities, regardless of what party we are, especially the more rural that folks live, I think it makes it important. One of the things we're also seeing, of course, the public radio attack, or excuse me, the public media attack, was pursued and finalized through the rescissions package.
You were just talking about, that's right.
Yeah, so that was funding that was pulled back, and Republicans in Washington agreed to allow this administration, the Trump administration, to essentially yank the funding. There are other components, including funding freezes and funding cancellations, many of which have been struck down in the legal system, some of which are either still being legally adjudicated or in some cases have been legally allowed to proceed, that also impact the state. And these, particularly around our higher education system, freezing funding and cutting various strains of research, particularly in health and well-being, energy, and other areas. So as we focus and really take up public radio simply because that was zeroed out, we also, I think, are keeping an eye on, and I want to be very closely working with leaders and stakeholders all across our community to make sure that the other attacks, we're at least considering how to address those and how to defend New Mexicans from those impacts.
One of the new burdens the state is going to face as a result of this bill is going to be administering the work requirements for health care, and I don't know if those are for SNAP as well. But can you talk a little bit about that and how you'll be able to do that in a way that will hopefully ensure that people won't lose assistance because they put a comma where a semicolon should be or something like that?
Yeah. This is the increased burden, essentially all of the hassle factor and the increased paperwork, as you point out. That is something that will likely be part of the special session in terms of preparing for how we make sure that New Mexicans who are eligible for health care benefits and other benefits are able to access those, because we know when folks have health care and are able to have good nutrition, they're going to be better able to be in the workforce, better able to learn, et cetera, better able to provide for their families. The Republicans in Washington's decision to shove a ton of paperwork and try to kick folks off of benefits, in addition to the wholesale elimination of broad segments of folks from being eligible for those sorts of things, you know, that those impacts will reverberate. You know, when there are fewer folks who are covered for health care, that is harder on our doctors, nurses, and other health care professionals, because that's their clientele. So we do have to help prepare for this. Now, the sort of the rules of the road, the guidelines that are due to be released by the federal government governing particularly around the Medicaid program, those have not been released yet.
Okay.
Tongue-in-cheek, now that the bill that Republicans in Washington passed is being called sort of the Consultant Full Employment Act, because you now have high-paid consultants across the country and perhaps beyond who are now in high demand by all 50 states, sort of selling their services to try and help states not face fiscal disasters in some cases. Mm-hmm. Now, here, and one of the things that I want to stress, and I so appreciate being able to engage in this conversation, is that some of these short-term preparations, and in some cases, or maybe immediate preparations, immediate short-term actions to help folks continue to have access to health care and access to food, it does not solve a more middle and long-term challenge where the government is just essentially, where the federal government is withdrawing and changing to give basically to billionaires in the form of tax cuts such broad financial support. So that will require us to work very deliberately and probably pretty in a strong and innovative manner to try and provide as strong, perhaps even stronger, of a service with fewer overall dollars, but in some cases perhaps more state dollars. One of the things that underlines to me is the economic diversification that we are laser focused on as a state, and for which we have increased funding to the Economic Development Department, working with local communities to diversify and grow our economies. That's gone from something that is one of a handful of top priorities, perhaps, to one of the most, you know, its importance is elevated, because if we're going to see a withdrawal of billions of dollars of federal support and investment in health care, in food, and in other areas, a big part of how we solve that challenge and address that challenge and face that challenge has to be growing and diversifying economically. Because there's simply, even with $60+ billion in permanent funds that are have to be for the state, for the entirety of the state, essentially for the an $11 billion budget where you're seeing risk to perhaps 20, 30, 40% of that perhaps at the federal level. This all comes, fascinatingly enough, as the national economy is slowing down markedly. You know, we saw a downward revision in job creation just yesterday, almost a million jobs that was revised downward. Many states are seeing significant slowdowns. Some states, I think, sadly, will face sort of at least a double whammy, perhaps even worse, which is where the federal government pulls billions, their state economies and the national economy stagnate, perhaps go into recession, and at a time when more people are going to need the sorts of benefits that have long been part of what the federal has been part of this federal compact, they need it the most, and the federal government has just pulled it back in the biggest way possible. I think we can agree that we have to be determined to fight both of those, right? We have to fight to make sure that New Mexicans continue to have access to health care, to food benefits and others. And one of those ways is actually by keeping our economy strong, healthy, growing, and diversifying. So it's a really interesting, challenging time. On the other hand, like we're having the conversation today, so good to be really in dialogue and working hard to solve these challenges together.
It is, and we appreciate you joining us. We have come to the end of our time here, but we will all be paying close attention because this is a critical moment for the state. I think we're all aware of that, and we wish you the best as you head up to Santa Fe to deal with these critical problems.
Hey, I'll be back. I'm up here now. I'll be back down this afternoon and was back home, came up, I think it was yesterday. So look forward to it, too. Look forward to talking again soon. Thank you all for taking time.